here we go, lads. It's the Belfman podcast coming at you again. Oh, I'm going to run you over with football and audio.
It's a very violent start.
There are the lovely subtle chuckles of Declan Maron
hello,
over there.
Hello, hello, hello.
And the much deeper chuckles there.
There are hardly any chuckles.
Yes.
The air is escaping from the mouth, but there's no sound coming with it. So.
Shane Keane over here, 12-pound podcast, you know, like a tripod. Three people. Stand tall in the world of football against
all the other cars.
Exclusively in rhymes now.
Yes,
tall, riddles. World of football.
I will be speaking in riddles. The 12-pound podcast at hotmail.com. If you want to email in at 12manpodcast on the Twitter, get on there. You can get onto the Facebook page as well. Some stuff going on over there.
There is.
Give it a Google. What's on there, young man? A
few bits. Lynn Brady scratching his head.
Well, that's been there for a while.
Yeah, there's more gonna go up, but mainly is the
Glenn Johnson story from last
Glenn
week.
Glenn Johnson story from last week in which he...
He and David May.
Rue told us of the story in which he nicked a toilet seat. It wasn't David May.
Oh, who was
Brian
it?
May. Millwall striker or something.
Brian May
Brian
did.
May, Queen gets
yes.
Passed. No, no.
James May from Top Gear.
He's one of the many Mays.
But
basically, he stole a toilet seat. It's a very funny story. Confusing. But there'll also be more. I already have one or two things that are going to mention later in this that are going to go up there.
So. Okay, lovely. That's interesting. So we start with the question and answer we do most weeks. That's all to do with the world's most expensive player. Gareth Bale. So after his dream debut, as it's been put, dream debut because it rhymed, or there's alliteration rather, for Madrid, his dream debut for Madrid, in which they drew 2-2 against the team that just got promoted. I want to ask you, what debut or which debut stands out for you and why? Declan Maron, I'm going to show it to you.
I fear that I've said this before because I fear we've had this question before, but I'm going to go with it. And if it's
Andy Gray, Richard Keys.
If it sounds too familiar, throw it back, and I do have others lined up in case, but I'm going to go with Fabrizio Ravanelli's hat-trick on his debut against Liverpool, because it's super memorable for me because of how devastating it was back in the 96 season. Liverpool opened the scoring with none other than Stiggins Bjørby burying it in the Middlesbrough net, you know, so first goal of the season goes to him. I think he was like the top goal scorer for like a couple of minutes because he was the first to cross early on in the game. I was cut short by a Ravanelli penno. John Barnes then made a 2-1 to us. Ravanelli then got in with a nice little tap in and proceeded to celebrate in that lovely old thing that you never really see anymore, the shirt over the head.
And they're probably not allowed to do it.
No, you're not allowed to take off the shirt, but you can put the shirt, like, just pull it up and over your face for a minute. So he did that and then ran it, like Shane Cale is doing now with headphones on, making it even more difficult. But he ran at the crowd then and just went apeshit, which is, you love seeing that, you know. And then Robbie Fowler put a right footer in after a cross, which you don't see
not
much
like
either. And Ravanelli, of course, equalised with a cut. It was a sloppy goal at the end, but he cleaned it up. And the ball, very Father Ted style, like the Italian in the over 65s football. It just trickled into the net, and we're just like, oh no. But it was a masterclass from the Silver Fox.
Slowly. And Middlesbrough thought to get relegated that season.
Yes, it did.
And he did the League Cup and FA Cup final.
He then moved to Derby after?
I think so.
Yeah. Maybe it wasn't directly after.
He definitely played for Derby once. Yeah. That's Richard Ravanelli for you, though. Yeah. I could have sworn he's got 2 penalties in that match, but obviously I'm
no,
wrong.
No.
Find it. Going to throw up the roots open over here.
Well, the first thing that I thought of, obviously, was Jonathan Woodgate, because that's classic, on his Real debut.
Had you text us that?
I did.
He texted us that earlier in the week, saying, we'll probably all just take the piss out of Jonathan Woodgate.
But the one I always remember, probably because I'm a Celtic fan, and Henrik Larsson is probably one of my favourite players of all time. So yeah, Henrik Larsson's debut when score
97 dead, as well, was it?
In 97.
The old ones.
I think possibly against St Johnston, I'm not entirely sure who was. Came on, score 1-1, comes on this lanky fellow with dreadlocks.
Forget he had dreadlocks because I got so used to how good looking he was.
No.
Whoa, calm down.
He ruined it with that though. Like, because, you know, when I started watching football at the time, I was like, who's this majestic man who's just brilliant? And then going back, you're like, Oh no, he wasn't always majestic. Yeah. He looked like he was in cool runs.
Well, he wasn't always majestic because he came on in his debut and proceeded to get the ball away immediately to whoever it was that scored. And we lost 2-1.
Lovely.
What a memorable game.
Yeah. He endeared himself to the fans there.
Yeah. Made up for it though. He was alright then.
Yeah, he did get in the next 7 years. Goals one season.
Yeah. Jesus. Made up for that one time he gave the ball away.
Mm. Yeah. 97 as well. Jesus. Yeah. Don't like it very well.
You're going to go with something more modern, are you? As the kind of modern man.
You're going to go with Ozil.
I was like, I don't know if it was his debut, but I thought you were going to say Martial against Barcelona.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it was his debut.
I don't know. I don't think so.
No.
I think he might have played one or two in the League Cup. Oh, I don't think it was a Celtic.
Fine. Right, whatever.
Champions League debut, probably. Though.
Doesn't count. League Cup.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, you probably get away with saying UEFA Cup debut if you want.
Yeah, sure, look, who's going to even check this stuff out?
Yeah, it was his debut,
you know, nobody cares. Ronaldo's hat-trick there, didn't they? I was seeing Aguero's 2 against Swansea.
Yeah,
lovely strike from 30 yards, I think, as well. It's a lovely strike against that, another one where he just tapped into the back post. Kind of showing me all. We're going to go Wayne Rooney's one against Fine Art. Or Fenerbahce.
I was thinking of that.
Champions League. That was his first game. 2004, I think, was it?
Yeah.
And his head was too big to fit in the shirt.
Was it?
He had to cut him.
Oh, God.
If you see footage or anything from that game, he has the sides cut.
I'm not sure if it's because his head was too big.
Ah, that was a joke. He scored the first.
Just to factually clean that up, like, genuinely, the shirts they make would have to be very small size.
They wear that weird material that didn't stretch, though. Like, it wasn't like they are now. They didn't stretch as much then. Mm. They were kind of a...
Well, weird. Large heads aside, go on. Anyway, give us the down.
He scored the first one, which was his first goal for the club. It's only about 10 minutes into the game, I think. He kind of broke in and scored... came into the left and just kind of passed it by, but not passed, but hit it by the keeper with a bit of power. The next one, I think,
was a free kick.
I think Ronaldo might have laid him off. Could be Van Nistelrooy, I'm actually sure.
Yeah, probably was.
It laid him off, and he kind of let the ball run by the defender, skipped by the defender, ran in, smashed it into the far corner. And the third one was the free kick, which is the most memorable, I think. You know, he's kind of just two other players down to the other side. He's on the right hand side or on the left hand side of the ball. They hit it with his right foot. The ref blows the whistle. He just lobs over. I think he scored about 2 free kicks after that for United. Never seemed to take any more, but scored that one, and it's quite memorable. And it was almost, oh, this guy cost 30 million. It was a huge impact. And people were like, oh, what would he'll do? He'll do a hat trick on his debut.
Yeah, he did a memorable debut for Everton as well. As I'm sure.
Against Arsenal from about 40 yards out.
16-year-old as well.
But I do hear you calling out basically to me, what is Ravinelli doing now?
Is Ravinelli doing now?
I thought I heard that.
He's managing... is he managing somebody?
Not only that, he could be, but not only that. But last year, he upped his modelling career, as you can see in the picture I'm showing you, which will be up on the Facebook later.
Oh, dear.
Here's Ravinelli on the runway during the Dirk... Burke Meg show as part of
is that silk? It looks like silk.
As part of Milan Menswear Fashion Week Spring Summer 2010 on June 22nd.
None of this works on audio.
I think it's tinfoil.
No, but it looks like tinfoil. I'll put it up on the. Here's one. There's another one where he just looks absolutely awkward as hell. It looks like he's going to the airport or something.
Just carrying a sports bag.
But yeah, these will be up on the Facebook later. I had a good laugh at them earlier. Also, do you know what I was only thinking earlier? Do you remember Adrian Mutu's debut?
For Chelsea?
Because he was really high. It was actually a bad free kick. It hit the wall.
And then he took it and it came back out.
And I remember him after that thinking, oh, this guy looks pretty good. Just when you're talking about memorable debuts, I think of a lot of... debuts where I expected, or a lot of people expected a lot from a player. I don't always remember the ones where the player is good for like a long period of time. Like Ravinelli or, Barras was another one. Barras scored 2 goals on his Liverpool debut when Michael Owen was having a dreadful time. I remember thinking that year, we have a decent 4 striker thing going on of Michael Owen, Emil Heskey, Elhaz Diouf. And then I was like, this young guy, he might be decent. And
they're all bad.
Those 2 went, they were all bad, as it turned out.
Speaking of bad strikers who had good debuts, Mino scored twice in his
He was another
debut.
One I was thinking of, yeah.
Well, they are. Jeez, Mino scoring on his debut.
And he looks unbelievable.
He was incredible. I remember there was like back heel flicks coming in left, right, and centre.
And then he just started to... He must have been sharing whatever, you know, dinners him and Yakubu would eat together, because he just got massive and slow after a while, Mino.
After a while. After that game.
That was it. That was the highlight of his career. Mino. We loved you. Right, let's move on from that then. Lovely answers, lads. Nice nostalgia there. Diving is what we're going to talk about this week. Straight on to that.
Lovely. No segue.
Diving and racism. Jeez, we love talking about those two things.
Dive right in there.
Dive right in there.
What?
Go on. Sure, go on out of that.
You would.
No, you wouldn't, actually. That's the problem.
Sure, why not?
You wouldn't dive.
Would you?
Would you
dive?
Have you ever dived in your non-professional career?
On the AstroTurf.
On the AstroTurf. Because get injured. You injure yourself worse diving on that. So
you're trying your best not to go down.
I'm kind of tempted to give it a go now, see if I get away with it on Monday.
Should all games be played on AstroTurf stop players diving? That's what I ask.
It's the big question we're asking here.
Or on a big pitch full of razor blades.
Right, well, look. Well, Ashley Young was diving at the weekend against Crystal Palace.
He was. Yeah,
he's up to little tricks, kicking players, going over, making fouls probably at the same time. Got booked for... Dave Moyes said he's going to talk to him about it, sit down, have a word with him. Probably really pin him up against the dressing room wall and shout at him.
In fairness to Moyes, he's been against it for many years. He's given out about it
a lot. And he has stood by it, yeah.
Yeah, and even when loyal, brilliant men like Phil Neville have dived... If you remember at the end of the last season, Phil Neville with possibly the worst dive mankind has ever seen. Yeah. So,
Phil.
Yeah. But, you know, he's stuck against it all that time, so.
Yeah, he said
all that time between the end of last season.
No, like, all the time since it's really kicked off.
Yeah. He has somebody said that he's going to talk to Ashley Young. The question is, what can we do with diving? Because obviously Ashley Young got caught out there, but we've seen it so many times with, say, Suarez, for instance. You see it. We saw Mbappe last season. He kept getting booked for diving and talking about getting penalties. And there were times when he was diving, and there were times when he was genuinely getting fouled. How does the referee make the right call when players are genuinely trying to con the referee?
Yeah, I think there should be I think for a long time we've said there should be retrospective punishment. The same way, you know, people judge. There's a disciplinary committee to judge whether, you know, the red card should be upheld or the violent behaviour someone should be charged with that. I don't see why there shouldn't be a committee to decide whether you've basically cheated in that game.
It's hard to do that sort of thing though, because I mean, if they give the penalty, like the opposition team doesn't care.
No,
I know it's like you have to.
But it's the same with violent behaviour. I mean, you know, it doesn't benefit them to see a player suspended later in the game or like later in the week.
Yeah, but like if the case is that someone dived, they got a penalty, they scored from it. They were the team that were affected by it.
Yeah, but ultimately, in order for this to work, we're not going to be able to mend that.
What about video replays during the game?
I'm against video replays during the game for stuff like that because it comes down to, I mean, there's ones that we disagree on watching sometimes, you know? Not that exact one, but, I mean, for example, one the three of us disagreed on last year was, it was Ashley Young being sent off, actually, wasn't it? In the Champions League.
It was Nani, sorry.
Yeah. And we all disagreed on that. So to have video replays for stuff like that, there's still going to be
debate over. There will be debate, but it won't be three people sitting down trying to decide. It'd be one referee in a boot at the stadium. Saying either it's his decision, yes or no, if it's a penalty,
I'd be generally against that. I think it should be treated the same way as you know, violent conduct. And
so just retrospectively?
Yeah, I think it should be a retrospective. Because
I should be able to look back, though.
Because football is it's the way it is. You know, I'm enjoying... I think goal line technology is good.
What? We've only seen it once since the opening day. We haven't seen it in use since.
We've seen it too much in use, but not in use for the right reasons.
But it will come in handy.
Yeah.
Later in the season.
It's not in the Champions League, actually.
No, it's not. They're very opposed. Which is another team with those six officials and they seem to do it.
Yeah. But my point being, I think it should be a retrospective thing that I think the player should be, you know, suspended for a game or two. And generally, for players like Suarez or like whoever we're mentioning, if they keep going down, it's going to keep happening. And generally, they're going to try and avoid it, you would imagine. You know, I think that's the only way to go about it. I think talking about bringing in video replays for stuff like that will just go into another 10 years of debate. And whereas actually punishing people for stuff like that is a possible thing to do soon, I think.
What about you're still going to have that problem, though, even if you're looking back at it. So if Ashley O'Hanlon had been booked and won the penalty at the weekend, for instance, with his first dive, or that dive, where he's booked for, and it comes down to Tuesday and the FA or whoever does that meets and says, is this a penalty or not? There will be times when they won't be able to, still won't be able to decide then. So what do you do then?
Yeah.
Is there a reasonable doubt and you go, have to let them away with it, or does it have to be a clear dive? Or...
That's because the thing.
The one you remember and I remember is Eduardo.
I was actually going to bring that up as well. I wanted to see you two have a go at each other.
He was originally suspended and punished for that, retrospectively, out of nowhere. Like, UEFA never done before. But that opens up a whole can of worms of, are they going to do this with every dive? Because if they do it with Eduardo, they have to do it with everybody else. And eventually it was overturned. He wasn't banned. Because,
and they haven't tried it since.
Yeah, because UEFA realised, I think, that if they try it, if they open that kind of worms and they say, we're going to start banning players for that, then everybody's going to be banned eventually.
Yeah.
Because it's so hard to click. Because, you know, even you could still look at it and say, you're not even sure when a player dives, if they actually want the penalty or they're just trying to... Like, sometimes they will appeal.
Yeah.
Other times they won't. They'll just get up and the referee might still book them and they're kind of like, what?
But that's why I think it makes sense during the game, because it's hard to tell during the game whether a player wanted a dive. I think, you know, a day or two later, it's easier to debate and look at video replays again and again and again and decide. It's the same as I said, in violent behaviour. It's hard to tell if... For example, you go back to last season, remember Balotelli kicked the back of Scott Parker's head? Now, at the time, it was hard to decide whether he meant that. You look back on it, you go, okay, he seems to have swung his foot and kicked Parker in the back of the head. You know, that was violent behaviour, and I think he did actually get in trouble for it. But it's hard to decide, like, at that moment on the pitch. The ref would have to watch it a couple of times, see if there's, like, any intent from the player to go down, you know, stuff like that.
Hmm.
I think it makes it virtually impossible for the referee, because as you're saying, is he going to have to keep pulling players up during the game and checking,
like,
and
actually
checking
off the ground?
Yeah.
If they dived, yeah,
to help them up. Any input from you, Eduardo? No. Celtic buzzwords?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
can of worms.
What kind of punishment then should they be given if that's the case?
Well, I think at the time where you wanted Eduardo to be shot,
yeah,
into the sun,
yeah, that was a bit of a knee jerk reaction.
Yeah,
but
that was a Champions League playoff match.
Because I mean, they're not going to be able to afford that many cannons and that much power all the time for players who have died.
That's true.
To shoot them into the sun,
financially, and probably morally
wrong.
You could shoot them with the Sun newspaper at a high velocity and leave them bruised.
I'd say bizarre.
They've, like, a Kerry Katona shaped bruise in their chest.
See, the problem with that is, you know, you can only shoot the paper at a certain speed, or otherwise it might catch fire, you know.
They might dive out of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Lie detectors
maybe after the match? Ask them if they dived or not.
I love that. Just the referees, dressing room turned into this FBI interrogation room where the light swings slowly and you're hooked up to one of these lie detectors.
Well, I was thinking it could be one of those, like they do when they, you know, certain players get pulled over to do urine samples at the end of the match for drug tests.
Yeah.
You get pulled in, it's like, did you dive or not?
Yeah. And get a bit of good cop. Get a bit of good cop, bad cop going. Get David Moyes in as the bad cop, and I don't know.
Martinez as the good cop?
Yeah, you probably could. Or Ari. Ari would be the chief in that situation, two days away from retirement.
Wow.
Lovely. Diving. So, yeah, ban them all, that's what you're saying. Retrospective punishment is what we need.
I think it is just a difficult situation. I mean, you look at even things like, will you then be classified as that? I mean, Ashley Young is now classified as a diver.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
Maybe that's a good thing. For their next game, they don't
get
their
any
name.
Phrase.
No, they don't get their name on the back of their
diver.
They just get the word diver.
Like an ASBO or something. but I think it's just like, you know, I know everyone talks about, like, the same players. I mean, Bale had it, Ronaldo had it for a bit. Andy Johnson had it for a good while as well, if
Pires.
You remember. Pires almost invented that, kicking a player and falling. You know, so I think it does, in a way, it affects him. I mean, I think it's Spurs, when Bale started that, they didn't get a penalty for the rest of last season.
No, they didn't. Yeah,
so
they didn't get a penalty
at all. It seems to, like, the referees kind of cop on anyway, but I still think, you know, I'm very much in the corner of a retroactive punishment or bruising them with newspapers. like a bad dog.
Moving on then, lads. Champions League. Have to touch on that then. This is on during the week. It's back. Back with a bang. Chelsea lost to Bale. At home. At Stamford Bridge, it's the first Champions League match they've bought since 2003 at home, I think. Which is...
Yeah, the first one under Abramovich.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah, Marino, he'd be sacked.
Yeah, Chelsea out, I'm telling you.
Chelsea out.
Yeah, it's the worst start to the season since Abramovich.
This is shocking. They won the first two. They drew against United, then they've lost the last two. They lost to Everton as well at the weekend. Which is quite shocking as well.
Very poor football, I don't know. It's very... Not poor football, very... very flat and boring stuff, which I know Mourinho kind of, he doesn't go too mad, he's always relatively offensive, but I think that's what was so shocking about that Bale game. I think Jamie Carragher touched on it a lot, that, I mean, you saw it for the second goal, no, the second goal was the corner, the first goal with Oscar, that like pathetic tackle he made to try and, you know, when Bale were on the break.
Yeah, he's
not. No closing down at all from Chelsea. It was very, you know, let them come at us a bit, which Mourinho would be livid about, you would imagine, considering the power he had like up front when he was there, and generally has had at teams, and the amount he not hassling to the point of, you know, closing down everything and not giving them any comfort, but they never get to run at Mourinho's midfield like that, you know. Well, it's so shocking. I think,
do they even have, who's their first choice forward?
They don't really have one.
Who would you play up front?
I would have gone with Lukaku. I honestly would have. I would not have any of those.
You've got Bar, who took his first Champions League game.
Yeah.
You've got Torres, who hasn't looked good.
And Mourinho doesn't fancy him. It's very plain to see.
Maybe if he got his long hair back, he'd be more attractive. He might fancy him a bit more.
Yeah, I mean.
But Mourinho probably has eyes than Lampard, I'd say.
Yeah. JT will have a say on that, I'm sure.
Nah.
Puts his wanger in everything in the bridge.
Does he play football anymore?
I haven't seen him in a while. He just kind of goes around speaking with people.
Wanging it about.
In his full kit.
Everyday life, he has a John Terry top.
But a hole quite out the front. Wee lads! Or a Nike box, pretending his boots are in it, but really he's cut a hole in the box.
Walking around town with that box. With a box in his hand.
But
and his lad in a box.
But yeah, like it's, as you're saying, they don't really seem to have, you know, a direct striker, whereas they have like so many wingers that it's hard to choose from.
Too many attacking midfielders. Yeah. And even gone with no striker in a night match, for instance, that doesn't work out either.
Mm.
It's,
well, arguably they did. They got the draw that they wanted.
Yeah, I suppose it depends on what they were looking for in a match. And I suppose they'd be happy with the point. But in the match, say last night, if they had started with no strikers, they may well have drew one on. Yeah, but that's not what they wanted. They wanted to win, and not even okay. Draw would have been a bad result, but to lose the battle at home.
Yeah,
like, I mean, that's 3 points they should be guaranteed. And look, they're probably going to get out of the group, and there's no need to panic. But you know, it could cost them top spot. They could get a Barcelona, Real Madrid, a Bayern Munich.
It's a bit of a dodgy group now that you look at. Like, you would have thought early on, that's an easy enough group. They win all their home games. They might nick one, a couple of points away. But they're losing that. I mean, you would imagine now they'd go to Bale and they won't make the same mistakes. And they'll really shore up. I mean, like, the goals they conceded, as high in quality as Salah's goal was.
Yeah.
It's
Marcelo Salas.
Yeah, it's the break early on that you really are like, that's dreadful. It's bit like, without trying to play into that everyone bloody says for a Mourinho team to concede a goal like that, but it is. Yeah. I mean, he's got that name for a reason, because they can be relatively dull because they're pretty well short at the back. And the corner, it wasn't even a good corner that was crossed in. You know, I suppose it was because he hit the man at the front post, but there was no height on that corner. It was flicked in really close to the front post. And it's hard to say who's responsible for that, because...
Was it Bam, and you reckon?
No, but really you would think there should be a man on the post. And that's why I always find it absolutely outrageous that they don't do that. But Michael Ballack made the interesting point last night when he was on Sky Sports, saying, Cech, it depends if Cech has said to the goalkeeper, or to the coaches, yeah, I don't want, it puts me off, I don't want people on my line. Well, then he's very much a blender, because he doesn't move for... I think he's waiting for it to be flicked on.
Well, he gets the ball, but it's in the net by the time he gets through.
Yeah, but he, if you watch when the ball is crossed in and when it gets to the front post, he's a couple of yards away, not going
to
get to it.
When I saw Marco Sterler score, I was like, well, it's a header. Has to be a header. It has to be a header. At this point, Alexander Freud doesn't play for anymore.
Yeah.
Freud and Stroy up front. They'd score headers all day long. No end to those. They made Gareth Barry look impressive at the weekends. That's how bad they were.
Oh, he had the moment of the weekend, though. He really did, like...
The tackle.
What a way to, like
endear yourself to the fans.
Yeah, exactly. No, like, no one's going to give out about him for, like, maybe the next 10, 15 games. Even with Utsal playing against him. And if Utsal does exactly what he did in the Champions... Which took me a while to realise that could happen. that, like, Utsal could end up coming up against Barry. Whereas it was less likely when Utsal was at Madrid and Barry was on the bench at City. But... You know, even if that
they
happens,
might well
there,
have played against you last year.
Did play
against, but Barry wasn't playing that much.
You never know. Gotta look into the team sheets.
But my point being, even if that does happen again, which would be hilarious, he won't get as much criticism because everybody's like, remember that one tackle though? It was so good. And he stopped there too. A very good goal scorer.
Mm. And Stephen Naismith scored as well.
Yeah, he
does not look 27.
No, he was older, yeah.
He must have lived for his first 14 to 20 years of his life, like, right next to the sun. He's just awful looking.
He's one of those players that he just pops up, like...
He's been around for ages.
Yeah, but he pops up and you're like, oh, Jesus, he still plays for him. Oh, he scores in the big games, though. He tends to score against
big game player, big team. To get him in there, big game player, Champions League final, get him in.
It was a great work from Mijailovic to get the ball back to him, though.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And right before half time, but Chelsea were probably the better team, and any time seemed to be highlights in any way in the match would be Everton break. You know, that's all they did was they break with the ball and then win a free kick. Would seem to be what happened.
How great is that for Martinez, though? Like,
first,
I mean,
win, no goals,
6 points all in all, isn't it? 3 draws and a win like that.
But this happened at Wigan. They beat a big team and they'd go and lose the next week, so they have to make sure they don't
lose that.
But the thing about the Martinez Wigan was they conceded a lot of goals, a lot of stupid goals, and not doing that at Everton. So
better defense.
Good. Much but at least he's not trying to play like some sort of different system. He's stuck with it. You're a better defender. I'll just do what you're doing.
Exactly. Weakest Chelsea team in a good few years? I think it is.
I don't know.
I mean, for all their midfield, like attack midfield, Lampard's older, they need another centre back. You know, they can play Ivanovic there. They're short defender anyway in one position. They don't have an out and out striker. But they don't really have a good centre midfielder at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue Lampard is still having a good time there.
He's not bad, but they don't have a. You know, it's not like. They even have a Fellaini, they don't have somebody who can go, he's the midfielder. Like.
But I mean, Manchester United have gone several years with a very weak midfield and been up there and thereabouts, you know?
Yeah, but they also had the best striker.
That's what I was going to say, they've also bypassed the midfield most of the time. I suppose that's the problem with Chelsea, is they don't have anywhere to bypass. They're trying to use the attacking midfielders as a sort of... escape from their midfield and strikers, if that makes any sense, and it's not working. And as you said, look, the defense maybe not as strong as either. Like Cahill's one of those. He's you know, decent enough defender, but can't have his moments.
Together, is like they could be brilliant or terrible. So there's less Carvalho and Terry were to do. Like, you know what you're gonna get from those two.
Yeah.
But you could even argue Luis played his best football in defensive field last season. But anyway, we'll see what it goes for Chelsea. Celtic lost to AC Milan, unfortunately.
Yeah.
No heroic trip to the San Siro for them.
Two cracking goals, though.
Oh, absolutely.
The first one was just... The way it deflected off the defender.
The way he flicked it off the defender into the ball, nestled in the ball.
You wonder what... Like, there was just no concentration really there from Izaguirre, was there? Like,
I think he's unlucky. I mean, it's not...
It is unlucky, but I mean, you gotta do more than... I know, the ball wasn't travelling that fast. It was fast enough, but I don't know. The ball comes at you like that, you gotta do something.
Well,
you know?
He stuck his foot out to try to...
Not really, though. He didn't really stick his foot out, because he wasn't that stretch, or he, you know, wasn't trying to block it. It was more like a running into it, nearly.
Yeah, but if the ball's not travelling that fast, then you could almost say to, well, why is the four-star saving it?
Well, yeah, I don't think it wasn't that it was travelling slow, but I think, you know, he was far enough away to either try and block it or do something, but yeah, we'll call it unlucky.
Celtic were unlucky.
Yeah.
Any time I saw it was they seemed to be on the attack, and Chris Collins was wasting chances to beat the band.
we're missing a few players as well, weren't you?
James Forrest was the most notable absentee because he had to play out of matches on the right wing and he didn't know what the hell he was doing.
Yeah.
He kept running the ball, clean out of play.
Slightly opposition, I better run out of play with the ball.
he was effective in one sense because he stopped them going forward down the left. Yeah, down there. Mm. Yeah.
What you see is Roger Espinosa on the other wing. He's good in the ball.
Yeah, I think we all knew it was going to be a difficult one for Celtic to get through this group.
But
probably expect them to end up bottom again.
Can they finish third? Can they beat Ajax? I mean, it's kind of lucky that Ajax didn't get a sharp result against Barcelona, because let's face it, Barcelona are on top of the group.
So, well, I wouldn't say it was
as
lucky.
As long as everybody else... What, sorry?
I wouldn't say it was lucky. I'd be horrendously surprised if I...
No, but I mean, it's, yeah, but it's even... In terms they don't have any goals either.
Yeah.
So it's not that they only lost like 2-1 or something like that.
True, yeah.
You know, the goal difference is -4 now for Ajax, but Celtic have a slightly better one than -2, if you know what I mean. And...
that's how that group will end. on negative goal difference. With Celtic just clawing into the third place spot.
Can they finish short?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think, looking at that, man, I mean, we should have beaten AC Milan.
Yeah, regardless, but they were missing...
They were missing
their fullbacks.
Yeah.
And their whole midfield. Well, De Jong and Constant.
Yeah, really. But I mean, like, watching Ajax against Brest, it's not very good.
Like, yeah, but I mean,
I didn't see the whole game because I wasn't watching Celtic much. But like,
it does at the nail camp against.
No, fairness,
Barcelona.
You're
due.
You're going to get 4 points at least against Barcelona.
Yeah.
So yeah, just have that's the bag. We always win at home. Be grand.
Yeah.
That's the 9 points that we get for winning the 3 home games. So 1 point against Barcelona away.
Yeah, and that's 3 points against Ajax away. Yeah. That's towards the top of the group.
In all seriousness, I do think it'll be massively different this year. I mean, when you think of. When you played Barcelona last year, how, I mean, Messi was even not in the best of form, and you know there were times like that. Whereas, you know, he's got another hat trick now, and he's like
the most.
He could honestly, without being ridiculous, depending on how far Barcelona go, he could beat Raul's record this year in the Champions League.
How many is he behind?
He's 9 behind. Is it less than 9?
No, it's 9. Yeah.
No, it is. 71 is Raul's.
So, interesting.
We're not, and you know, God. Bless anyone that's playing Real Madrid, because Ronaldo's going to try and compete with that, which means he could also, he's like 20 or 19 or something, but it wouldn't shock me if Ronaldo beat Raul this year as well.
They're both going to be the top two by this time next year. They'll probably be the top two.
Moving on, then Arsenal beat Marseille 2-1 as well. And Ramsey got another goal. 6 goals this season.
Well, Ramsey great form.
It was the sort of thing that you didn't see him doing last season. He took the ball. There were 3 players there, and he just said,
"He held them off.
I'm
on first
wrong.
I'm on.
I took the ball.
No.
Do you know what? Actually, I watched the United game. It was on Al Jazeera in the pub that I was in, and there was Andy Gray and Richard Keys.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why I was talking about it a week or two ago.
I just got to watch them firsthand. Good.
And were they? Did they do that thing where they had to listen in an earpiece, whereas the rest of the, like, you know. They're speaking in Arabic, so then they, because I had my Alan Shearer before, where he was there sat beside like Arabic pundits, so they asked him a question in Arabic, and then he answered in English because it was fed to him through an earpiece. It's like, this is a very
the whole program was presented in English.
Okay.
Did they do that thing where they demean women?
Yeah. But that's okay. And
the sound was off, but Rue could tell anyway by Andy Gray's hand actions.
Tell by the actions.
Yeah. You can see my hand actions now.
Arsenal.
Ramsey. Yeah.
Happy enough with that one.
Ramsey gave away a penalty, though, which didn't seem to be a penalty at first.
No.
Stupid, terrible touch. And then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was silly for him to... Hopefully that doesn't knock his confidence down when he goes back to play as he did.
It was just a loss in concentration, really.
Oh. Yeah.
It's a 90 a bit. I didn't really think it was a penalty, to be honest.
No, it wasn't a penalty.
It wasn't a lot. You know,
it's a very poor decision, I thought. But
it goes down to goal difference.
Yeah. But Theo Walcott scoring what Paul Burson described as an absolutely amazing goal.
Yeah, if you take away the fact that he's 4 yards out and the defender just goes, nah.
Jeremy Morrell, dreadful error.
Once you find out, yeah.
Yeah, Jeremy
Morrell. An awful time when he tried to flick the ball back to Chesney, I think. He flicked it over Chesney because Chesney was obviously coming out to get it, and luckily Kieran Gibbs managed to clear off the line. I think we scored about 5 minutes after that.
Which is going to mean he's going to be out for the rest of the season. Maybe but on that point of Merson building up Walcott, it's like, good, that's exactly what Walcott needs now, to be built up as if he's some fucking Greek god. You know,
it's
like,
he does need to bulk up a bit.
Like some sort of Greek god.
But it's just typified his... Time after time I've said I'm not a fan of Merson on commentary at all, and this was just... It was a good goal, don't get me wrong.
He took it well, yeah.
Yeah, he did what he should have done. If he'd have missed, he'd have been absolutely angered. You know, so to build him up and... He may as well get on about Rodwell now.
He does miss a lot of chances, so.
Talk about how amazing Rodwell is now, in a few.
Yeah. Well, we saw at the weekend, Ozil on his debut.
King of assists.
He set up the first one for sure.
BBC branded him that as soon as he comes on the screen. The King of assists.
Okay, he played the ball into Walker at least two times. Walker just wasted a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got to get a lot of them this season. Just learn to finish the ball. You've got the speed to run by anybody. Just finish. Just that's the only thing you need to work in training between now and Christmas is just finishing that ball. That was
Arsenal involved in some good games recently, which is unlike them. Well, like good for them.
10 away wins.
Yeah.
Take that, haters. Just lose at home against Aston Villa.
On the point of when we talked about Gibbs earlier, Jenkinson was involved in the Ramsey's goal against Sunderland.
Yeah, lovely cross.
Yeah, lovely cross.
He was having a terrible game.
Was he? I didn't see the game. But I did notice, it was nice to see that Gibbs and him were involved in the goals. Like, you know, Gibbs played the ball too.
Gibbs, Jenkinson, Ramsey, all these British players. Sure.
But it was excellent to see, you know, Arsenal's fullbacks for, you know, a good while ago were quite involved. You talk about when Lorraine was decent and Ashley Cole.
Yeah.
You know, and they haven't seen that in a
I'm never
a big fan of Clichy. Sanya, should arguably could have been off on the weekend there for deciding to try and pull down what is pretty much a free trade at Jose Altidore.
And then denying him a goal scoring opportunity, which the ref didn't see as a goal scoring opportunity.
Yeah, it was one of those, again, one of those kind of problematic ones where made a terrible mistake by not just blowing it when didn't blow it early enough blew it too late, you know. It was dragging it up for a minute. Did it at the worst possible time, really. You know,
let's do it in the middle of the move.
Yeah,
it's like exactly. When he's about to strike the ball, no, he blew it for the goal.
He kind of went, hesitated, went, I'll let it go. That's guarantee you that's exactly what was going through his head.
United and City won the Champions League as well. Not too fancy there, I don't think.
Wayne Rooney on. A little bit of form.
Wayne Rooney getting goals. Then getting snippy with ITV reporters. They asked him twice, basically.
What the hell is that on your head?
Have you handed in a transfer request? And then, so do you want to stay? He's like, look, I just told you. I've been training hard with the club all season. Yeah, that's great. Just answer the fucking question.
You should be ITV's pressing, hard-hitting journalist. Answer the fucking question, baby.
Do you want to stay or not?
On his head, do you think, as you were saying earlier, his head's too big and he just, got his head stuck in it and hasn't been able to get it off?
But he couldn't get the jersey on.
He couldn't get the jersey on. So, happened to put it on messing and then just it's been jammed on there, you know.
Oh, it's because of the gas in my head. He actually did take it off. I think he took it off at half time when it was coming going
big out, throbbing going head
just I think it was just to prove that it was still there and that he did have it, because we tweeted that picture he was pulled out of the English thing and I was like, that was a year ago, that happened last year.
A lot of people have been throwing that if you haven't seen it, go look it up. The picture on the internet of him and Fellaini as the Home Alone villains. Rooney as Joe Pesci, I have to say.
If you haven't seen it,
mint of one. It's perfect.
If you haven't seen it, go look it up, because we're not going to put it up.
Yeah.
Dortmund, Napoli. You watched this match.
I did, yeah. The old red button, got to say. Love. I haven't gotten to use it in a while now.
Top hit the red button. Went mad. What was he?
Oh, I don't know.
He absolutely lost the plot with the assistant. It looked furious.
Yeah, the frozen shots of his face are terrifying.
He gets really red.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a scary looking man as it is.
He's a homeless looking man as it is.
I said it last year when he was doing the interview, there was a bit of psychoticness. You know, there's a bit of he's smiling now, but what's he done in the past? He's thinking of times when he's mashed open skulls like watermelons.
I mean, his mouth may be smiling, but his eyes sure as hell aren't.
He's probably thinking his time in the army and when he was this but he does look homeless. He looks scruffy and he's probably
don't think he looks homeless. I think he
does look scruffy.
He looks like a possible serial killer is what I'm going to say. But
a person of interest.
He's on a list.
We're getting on Law and Order. Can we have that as the podcast intro, the gung gung?
No.
He
was sent off, he was sent to the stands anyway. He tried to shake the Fort Fisher's hand.
He tried to pull his arm off, so he tried. If he'd have gotten under that clamp, ripped it straight off.
Shake him and punch him when he was shaking his hand.
What he got so angry about was basically the corner that Napoli were awarded for the first goal. he freaked out about. And also that Subotic, well, it suggested, but he seemed to only freak out about the corner, but it was suggested that Subotic wasn't
allowed
on the pitch early enough, which led to them having less men in the box, which led
Higuain
to
scored.
Higuain had a great game.
Did he?
I love Higuain. The runs he was making, and you could see he was so full of confidence and beans, or whatever the Italian version of beans are.
Pizza.
Let's get all stereotyped on this. He was absolutely excellent though. Like, so it was so nice. It was so nice watching a striker go like, oh, I'm gonna make this darting run like kind of diagonally, and you know, most of the time it was causing absolute havoc. Dortmund's defense were really not dealing with it at all. Just surprising considering things went. You know, people talk about a certain amount of luck they had last year, but they were good last year. You know, Mats Hummels was relatively rock solid at times, especially in the group stages.
Yeah, but the defenders are kind of they're not that great at defending, really. And they were playing Kevin Grosskreutz in right back.
Yeah,
he's not a right back.
You're not going to get away with that for too long.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which is the cross for the first goal actually came from Napoli's left wing. The free kick as well was lovely. Who was it, Insigne?
A homegrown player, so the crowd went absolutely
I think Napoli, you know, people go dark horse and all, but we're Rafa Benitez in charge.
In Europe. I find it strange, right? People are going to pick both of those teams out as dark horses, and it's like, but like, look at Dortmund made it to the final last year, and Napoli have bought, you know, quite a lot of very experienced and Champions League-esque players, and have a manager that's won that and won the Europa League last year. So it's like, stop being like so dark horse. Picking like Steaua Bucharest is something quite dark horse. Picking a team that most of us know are a strong team isn't that dark horse. Callahan was excellent as well, actually, out on the right. It's mad watching players of that quality that I'm allowed to go.
Yeah.
It's the same also. You look at those players, you're like, oh, how have they been allowed to leave?
They bought Bale. Yeah. And their drama teams just got promoted. Vlad Ronaldo's goal.
Ooh.
Probably got Ronaldo's.
Alright, fair enough.
Vice is so nice, isn't it?
There's a nutmeg, a bit of shimmy.
There's a nice nutmeg, nice shift of feet.
If I go for Ronaldo, you go for Vice, and you be undecided, it'll be relatively.
I'm going for Walcott, obviously.
Merce.
Whatever Paul Merce says goes here. Right, Champions League over and done with. Liverpool Swansea.
Yeah,
2-2. John Joe Shelby with a barnstorm performance.
Barnstorm is actually
the only way you can describe it.
I actually just saying that
goals, assists,
the way he played
for everyone.
The way he played reminded me as if he was actually playing by himself in a barn, like just running around mental, like kicking the ball off everything, bouncing around.
He was trying to prove a point, and
to us or Swansea or himself or who,
anyone who was watching. He was just like, I'll show all of you.
He's trying to show a point to Roy Hodgson. Get him a demon thing.
I'm not sure what he was trying to do.
Scored the first.
Yeah, which came from a sloppy, scrappy thing, but it was an excellent finish.
He mishit a shot, and then
Ranju mishit a shot,
got blocked, and then finally on the third attempt,
I'm
going to be composed.
That rounds him up very well.
Mm.
It's three incidents in which the goal he scored for you, and the two goals that he cost were his downfall. You know, so that's him in a nutshell.
And he was giving away the ball quite a lot. I mean, he gave some nice passes and stuff, and he was picking up some good positions, but then he gave stupid lapses of concentration and just...
That's exactly
the ball. Just giving the ball away.
Don't blame him as much for the second goal.
It's a terrible pass, though.
It is terrible, but there's five players back, and they do have time to close down Moses. The first one, though, was great. Very instinctive from Sturridge, though, onto it. I mean, he showed great awareness. He looked, this could happen. He took a chance, took a gamble.
Yeah.
And if you don't buy a ticket, you don't win the raffle, as Andy Gray would tell you. And he did well, son. And maybe just take a bow. No, but he does well to get in there and kind of say, oh, the ball might go in here. You know, John Shelby's a bit of an idiot. But then he made up for it with a lovely header in the second half to set up B-Jones. You don't see that kind of... And I was saying, the ball wasn't lumped upfield. Mm. It wasn't a big loft upfield. It wasn't a big Luca Toni or Niall Quinn up front. It was somebody up front. You know, he was at his head.
Their
just class at his head.
The same.
He was just at his head. He just had to nod it on to Michu. Michu just ran in and scored. It was good. It was good.
It was...
Don't see enough.
What we'll say about John Joe Shelvey is though what I've said for a long time that he you know gave out before about being made the scapegoat at Liverpool, and that, you know, as you were saying during the week, kind of had a go at Gerrard saying, oh, he made mistakes as well, and it's like he is more entitled than you to be in that team. You can't be like, look,
well,
he's
doing
that.
What he's saying is, you know, when he started out, he was making these mistakes.
Yeah. I understand that, but like that does not help him in his career.
Yeah, I know.
Right,
it's
now,
like, it's putting added pressure on him.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, well, I'm
it could be Gerrard, but like he did have potential, and that was never the issue. But he wasn't, you know, proving that he should have been in that team or pushing to be in that team. I mean, he was getting left out when Henderson was really poor as well.
Yeah.
He just wasn't rising to the occasion. You know, he played.
When Henderson cost so much money though, in the first place, then
yeah, but
he's going to get more of a chance.
But they were being dropped. I mean, when Kenny wasn't there and Rodgers was there, you know, he was dropping Henderson, and he's trying to bomb out the rest of them.
Maybe something else we don't really know about.
I don't know. But in his fairness, he did what he could. He got played up front, if you remember,
yeah,
once or twice when we were low on strikers. You know,
which is was a constant problem with Liverpool.
Yeah.
Not as much anymore. Plenty of strikers. Too many strikers, some would say.
No, we're grand. Coutinho is going to be...
Coutinho was out for 6 weeks.
Big blow to us, really.
Shoulder injury.
Yeah.
Because he's so small.
I saw an excellent tweet one of my friends wrote that would have nearly been worth buying Ashley Williams to avoid that injury.
Arsenal should have bought that. Aston Villa 1, Newcastle 2. Villa's good start to the season. It's quickly coming to an end.
Yeah. I'll put this down as a blip, though. I think
they haven't been good since they won that Arsenal match.
Too much confidence.
They were good in the Chelsea match, I suppose, but they did lose in the end.
Mm.
Yeah, you could argue that they're too confident, almost.
Mm.
They thought maybe we were a lot better than we are this season.
But also, Newcastle really had to... Because they've been really poor at the start of the season, so they've really had to go out, and I'm sure at this stage they're like, right, come on, let's get our season going.
But Arthur was good again, which is...
Carrying them at the moment, he is.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Kabayi has done that at times, but he's been relatively
poor. His head is elsewhere, let's
say. Well, it was. I don't think so anymore. He's come out and apologised, he says, for whatever's gone on. I was like, well, look, you wanted to move.
I don't think you should have to apologise. I think you should come out and be like, yeah, I wanted to move, and I'll still go out and give it my all here. But just don't go AWOL to Argentina like a certain talisman.
Which I think Aston Villa could finish, because we all kind of said at the start of the season that they ought to be better than they were last season, but...
I still think they will. I don't think this run will go on like this. I think just outside the top 10 is where I'm going.
You mean 11th?
maybe 11th.
Or 11th.
I don't want this to affect my end of the season predictions too badly, so
the only reason
be careful.
Really, Tom, when Newcastle is, you want to talk about Steve Harper's testimonial.
Oh, yes. Get in.
I mentioned last week, we talked about Petrov's charity match,
and
then Harper's testimonial against the AC Milan legends happened to fall the same week. It was a nil all draw. Went to penalties.
Perfect for a goalkeeper.
Yeah,
really.
Went to penalties. They took their penalties. Harper took a penalty and missed.
Yeah,
constant the game.
And they did ask, did he want to retake it because it was his? And he was like, no, come on, I'm not like a child. I don't need to score to win a penalty. And it was like, yeah, all right, fair. Like that was, if anything, that's a better moment for him to have. It was like, good man, like kind of being like, no, look, I missed the pedal. I'm not gonna sit here and like take, like he misses another one and another one until he eventually scores.
And, like eventually they just go, right, we're taking the keeper out of the goal.
Come on, Steve, you can do that. You know, it's like, it's really pathetic if you get
it's
to
like,
that point.
Go on bowling when they put the teams up the side so you can't get the ball. Get the ball has to go in.
I imagine Steve Harper bowling now, that kind of thing. Or he just never gets a chance because Given just keeps getting it. Did he play much, Steve Harper?
I'm sure he played the whole game.
imagine he didn't get on.
So we're going to start with Given a goal.
And Plenty Costa are going to come on at half time.
No, who was it? It was
Plenty Costa, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, what was his name? Fabio Carpen, is it?
Fabio Carpen is...
I just throw names out here. doesn't matter. Anyway, yeah, so he did start as Ramsey don't play it and missed the penalty. So that's the important thing. The important thing is that he cost Newcastle the game. And look, you can joke about it, but you know, this is a big game for Newcastle. They needed 3 points in it.
Exactly. They're down the bottom.
They
could be beating an AC Milan select 11.
I mean, look, just because that was Costa Corta and Maldini playing for them.
Sure to check.
Central. Yeah.
Got it.
so on.
And Cernicek and Maldini, yeah.
Yeah, well, Cernicek playing for Newcastle.
It's pretty great. It's quite disappointing that, you know, with Vieri and Di Canio and Oblin didn't see a few goals.
Oh, yeah. Joey Barton put in a big tackle on
Di Canio. Producer.
But then gave him a, you know, he said, oh, fair play to him. You know, he played along with it and went along with the crowd, even though he was getting stick. And I was like, I'm sure he was getting stick.
Yeah, you know.
He was probably getting sacked.
Maybe that led to his outburst on the Arsenal game.
No, yeah, his outburst was for politely asking to be sent to the stand. Which is according to him.
As they
showed
the replay.
He was like, yeah, go on then. You can send me to the stand if you want.
I said to him jokingly, yeah, it looked very joking. Yeah, it looked like it was a barrel of laughs down there.
Top, we're just having the laughs.
Yeah. Just kind of like, you know, it sounded like The Office or something, didn't it? Like, oh, you're hard. Go on, send me off, so. So I've kind of asked him to send me off and he's done it. You know? I don't care. Not my problem anyway.
Yeah. Moving on. Europe. Bale made his debut, as we mentioned already, but it's more so the fact that Madrid drew 2-2 with Villarreal. Barca went on and won 3-2.
Yeah.
Which goal in the 92nd minute. They always do it. Always do this. It's incredible. Like, I mean, you know, most games they go and they win 4 or 5 nil.
And but, all the goals come in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, but one of these games where they're drawn 2-2 at the last minute, you're like, ah, oh, they'll get a goal. They get, and Alexis Sanchez gets the goal, and everybody runs off to celebrate with Messi. I mean, I know Messi does well to set up the goal. He beats 3 players, has a great turn of pace, and he just gets it in. But, like, how do they keep doing this? Like, they just, it's just beyond me how they keep scoring goals like that in the 90th minute. I think they must do more than any other team.
Maybe United as well.
United did, but not so much anymore.
So much.
You know, United in the 90s.
But like, a person would put themselves into this position by being 2-0 up and just going, I just game one. And I think then conceded 2 stupid goals.
Not buying defenders.
It's not a team that used to do that, especially like in Europe, I'll have is Liverpool. That was a great example of it. We'd push ourselves into the worst position possible. We'd be like, oh, we can probably like rest a few players. We'd find ourselves 3-0 down. Like, oh, we better claw Champions back League out. Final. So, yeah, exactly.
Resting players on the day of the Champions League final. Steve, we're just got probably at the bench because look, you know, there's a big game coming up at the weekend. It's the last game of the season. Yeah, well, look, Euros are coming up this summer.
Is this Steven Gerrard or Steve Finnan?
Both.
Both key. Actually, can we get to the point just on fullbacks that Jamie Carragher insulted fullbacks all over the world this week?
And Gary Neville.
Mainly Gary Neville, but mostly other fullbacks saying no one wants to grow up to be a Gary Neville. What, no one wants to be a fullback. All right, Mr. Centre-back can't play much football. Hoofs the ball all the time. Formerly my idol.
Used to be a fullback for a good
while. Well, it was made into one. Was a striker. No one wants to be a defender at all. Everyone wants to play up front. No, this is absolutely unfair. Philip Lahm.
Yeah.
You know, cracking player. Fullback. Right.
He wanted to be a winger though.
No, nope.
He wants to be a centre fielder.
Definitely not.
It looks like he wants to be a centre
fielder. I'm gonna stick my neck out. I could be wrong. I feel like he's probably a midfielder as well. Zanetti?
Well, yeah, he could probably play anywhere.
Yeah, but it was more fullback and always was, I believe. Yeah. You know,
Ashley Cole.
Well, he said that Ashley Cole used to want to be a winger.
Yep. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
But I don't know. This is a valid argument. I mean,
who wants to be a goalkeeper? Somebody just gets put in goal and they're good at it or not.
But I don't agree with that. I think there is people that like do want to do it. We're not them. I'm one of I used, just similar to Jamie Carragher, had spells up front, was not good, scored one goal, I think.
So dissimilar to Jamie Carragher in that respect.
Scored one goal.
Jamie Carragher, QPR, last day of the season last year. What a strike.
But, you know, I'm outraged by that. I think, you know, he should be suspended from the panel and they should have to go with Wilkinson and Jamie Redknapp and Hoddle and all of our other favourite characters.
And they'll have less entertaining television.
Yeah.
Yay.
No, I have to say, I've enjoyed the two of them so far. Me and Ray were talking a bit about it earlier, having the two of them on, G-Nev and G-Car, J-Car. And, it's been, apart from kind of funny, you know, having to go, I'm pretty sure Gary Neville accused them a week or two back of being a scouser robbing a house. So it's getting there.
You robbed me, Gaff. What?
It starts off with these playful jabs. Yeah. But
next minute, Gary Neville's planting coke in his locker.
Gary Neville actually thought it was hilarious in fairness to him. He laughed a lot.
Yeah.
It's good. Bit of wit. Bit of dry wit from the lads.
Let's move on to Italy then. Genoa.
We start with the Genoa story.
Yeah, we start with the Genoa story.
Yes.
The Genoa.
Probably my favourite story in the last, like, 10 years
about a coach, you coach, was found spying on Sampdoria. I'm sure most people probably heard about spying on Sampdoria's friend, because Genoa were playing Sampdoria at the weekend. Now Genoa went on to win 3-0 away from home, the Sheriff Stadium though anyway, so but it's the biggest away win for either of them. It's a derby, a massive derby in Genoa, and they went to win. But one of the U coaches was caught.
It was the goalkeeping coach, wasn't it?
Maybe goalkeeping.
No,
coach.
I think it was you.
No, it was the goalkeeping coach, Luca.
He was
Luca
caught
Pratt.
In the surrounding forestry of the Sampdoria training ground, spying on them. Now, obviously, it worked because they won 3-0.
Yeah, but like that's the best thing. It was like he was up a tree in camouflage gear, like watching them training. I guarantee it. Like I know it's hard enough to see, but they knew he was there. They were like, what's he doing? Just don't look at him.
Yeah, you can, like, when I thought about this, I thought about, like, all the, you know, sort of training pitches that I've seen before, and, you know, some of them are, you know, probably roads up to them and stuff.
Yeah.
You just imagine that it's like...
like a car parked right beside the tree.
And there's
in.
Just one tree there that he brought himself.
No, but it is a foresty area around it, but, like, look, I know...
Full Rambo gear. This has to be full camouflage... military outfit,
big knife,
yeah,
in case Predator
machine
comes along. In case Predator comes along in the trees or something.
No,
yeah,
hold,
I'm a,
no, hold on now, Rambo.
Oh no, I know. I'm chucking all these bad action movies in together in these Rambo.
But hold on now,
bad
action movies.
Now, come on.
Look, great action movies.
Yeah.
For their time.
Not great 80s action movies.
Yeah,
right?
For their time. But how amazing is that? That's like, I've never heard anything like this happen ever. It's brilliant. I think we should. Every team should have to do it. You know, like, they have scouts to, you know, keep an eye on the opposition team, maybe the game before. They should do that all the time. Like, they should have them in a tree outside the stadium. Like, just looking in.
Yeah, you could do that.
Binoculars. Save money. And
you could just scout them, like, the week before the match at their last
No, that's
match.
What I mean. But
yeah.
they shouldn't be at the game itself. They should be in a tree watching into the stand.
Like what Stoke fans used to do.
Yeah.
Just sit and watch.
Maybe that's what they're doing. They should start dressing in camouflage and they
could
get to watch
the match.
Could
you imagine this happening? I can't think of, you know, Steve Bowles hanging around outside the Tottenham training ground. Or
too big.
Yeah.
Have you seen
Pat Rice?
Even better, if they start like 24 style, you know, with CTU, getting a mole inside the squad. So kind of giving the, like, a player will just turn up to train, yeah. And he'll start telling them all
the
tactics and stuff like that. Yeah, like The Departed, exactly.
No,
we all know that ended really happily.
Wait, which?
And it's in Italy as well, so it's mobsters, you know?
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Makings of a good Danny Dyer movie right here.
Or makings of a bad Danny Dyer movie.
Hey, don't argue this with me, Harry.
Or what?
Yeah,
get Danny Dyer out.
We have to classify this, though. Good Danny Dyer movie can still be a very, very bad movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Just good for a Danny Dyer movie.
Is Danny Dyer still making a film, Ashley Cole?
I probably not.
I'd like to think so. Paris Saint-Germain just moved to France. Paris Saint-Germain beat Bordeaux 2-0. But Monaco are still top of the table. Falcao scored. They won 1-0 against Lorient. Interesting there now for you. It's fourth goal of the season.
They're playing each other this weekend.
This is the big one, lads. This is the big one. Who's going to win? Money's the
Money, I think.
Yeah,
money's gonna win.
Money is
commercialism.
Yay! Globalization of world football. Yeah, play sure at the weekend. Falcao versus Cavani and Ibrahimovic and all those.
Actually,
guys.
Ibrahimovic just passed for was it Cavani's goal again in the Champions League? It's unreal. Anyway.
Take your word, I did not see it.
I don't recall it, but I do remember Thiago Motta scored the same goal twice.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
And the commentator even alluded to it. It's like, oh, it's not a replay, this is the second goal. And then the commentator was like, is this a replay? I don't know.
It's not a replay. No, wait, no, it is a replay. Sorry,
no, it's a replay of his second goal, and he's got a hat trick.
Oh, look, he's running backwards now.
Oh, dear. Just moving on, the last thing I want to mention here is Cape Verde today. No, it's Cape Verde. Whichever one it is. They were into the playoffs of the African version, or African
qualifiers
campaign.
Of the World
Cup.
Yeah,
for the World Cup. It would have been playoffs. It would have been 10 teams going in, 5 would have qualified. So it was 10 teams. They had got that far. They got out of their group, but they've been thrown out.
Yeah.
They've been thrown out for fielding an eligible player for
Valera,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? For against Tunisia. So Tunisia are now...
Conspiracy. Bungs. I call bungs.
Yeah, I mean... That's disappointing stuff, because they would have been the smallest
team ever.
Country to ever take part in the World Cup.
If they had got that far. I mean, look, the chance that they may not. They will appeal it.
They won't get it though. I mean, it's real. I mean,
those are rules.
As frustrating as it is like they've played an eligible player in a game. You can't get away with that kind of stuff. You know, I find it hard to believe that no one said it at the time.
Well, see, I think what happened was that
just someone is marking him. Hey, who's this lad?
Yeah, well, you're suspended. He's not like shut up! Don't let me out.
He's a banger. You're not a banger, aren't you? That lad's 17. This is another 14 league. You'd have to go. You'd have to talk.
He's drinking before the game.
He's a full beard.
You had a full beard.
Yeah, you had a full beard at 13, bro. So you were a banger.
But I was playing under 8. He drove here.
Retired by the time of under 14. It's like,
oh, was he's like, you know, Joseph or not Joseph Joe, Tariba West? No.
Oh yeah,
he was playing under 14 football. Yeah, I'm 14. I look about 26.
Well, I don't have a passport, so you can't prove it.
Well, it says here you've got a heart condition. You said you're 14.
Ah, look, that's a lot of questions. Look, I'll go from free. Okay, I suppose. Yeah, unfortunately, I was saddened by the news that Cape Verde had been thrown out.
You don't like seeing that with any team, really. You want to just see the football played, and whoever wins, wins, loses, loses. But
maybe we can just stick out...
When small technicalities like that come in, it's like, ah, this is disappointing.
Well, you were calling for suspensions and stuff like that earlier.
No, I do.
If
no, I agree.
Man dived, and he was suspended.
No, I agree. I think it's the right decision, but it's just unfortunate. Yeah, you're going to have to look at the management who did that and possibly shoot them into the sun from a cannon.
or get the Sun newspaper.
Yeah, whichever they...
Easier to do. It's probably pretty difficult to get cold in the sun in Cape Verde. Maybe
so
use some sort of regional newspaper. Yeah, just moving on. Right, we promised some new features at the start of the season, didn't we?
And then we didn't deliver for a while.
We did. Yeah, we've reshuffled the organisation. We're trying to deliver
the running order and all that. We have actually got something new for you today.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh.
It's a little bit of nostalgia as well. No, there are no elves. we've titled it quite imaginatively Whatever Happened To, you know what I mean? So you know those players coming on,
dot question mark.
Yeah, do we have a jingle?
I'll work on that.
Okay, good.
So you know, Whatever Happened To such and such, you know, a player comes along, scores a few goals in the Premiership, scores a few goals in Europe, we never hear of him, disappears off, never hear of him again.
Or you do keep track of him, but it's a really ridiculous case, in which case we're gonna talk about that.
Yeah,
because there's a few we've kept
or
up with that we know.
Premiership, they know to do really well. People go to Germany and they do really well, but they may have only been in the Premiership for a couple of months, or they're not even the Premiership. I mean, they've come over to Europe from South America.
They just don't get talked about as much as they should.
That's the problem,
especially in fascinating cases.
And that's the thing. You go and one day you're sitting there and you go, "Ah, Danny Higginbotham's still playing." Oh, I'm so on.
Except he's just Championship, as far as I can remember, clunking along there.
Is he
though? Oh, I don't know. Whatever happened to him? Tell me this very fucking instant.
Oh, well, that's not what I prepared. I've actually got Whatever Happened To Juan Pablo Angel.
Oh, starting off.
Remember him at Juan Pablo Angel? From Rastaville?
Only too well.
Scored 23 goals in one season for Rastaville.
That's a fantastic tally.
Yeah.
For, you know, he was their main marksman
for
a while.
For 4 years, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's really free off his Twitter, actually. He currently, currently striker for Atletico Nacional in Capitals, formerly with Chivas USA, River Plate, Aston Villa, New York Red Bulls, and LA Galaxy. Take that. He's currently playing for Atletico Nacional, as I said. Colombian team based in Medellin, which is actually his hometown, which is probably why he's
probably gone back. Any coaching roles or just...
No, he's still playing.
Yeah, but any, I'm sure he'll go into it.
Oh, I don't know.
He's player like, a good looking man like him not being in management.
Give him time.
Yeah, I'm just hinting at it. I want to add to the sequel of this maybe someday.
they're the current Colombian champions, actually, and they produced some good players in their time. They produced Renny Higuita.
This is why we're here.
The erratic goalkeeper Renny Higuita, of Scorpion Kick fame.
Fantastic.
And the rather infamous Andres Escobar, who was unfortunately killed
in
the 1994 World Cup, or during the 1994 World
Jesus,
Cup. He's born on the 24th of October 1975. He makes him 37 years old. So yeah, management might be around the corner, coaching might be around, but he's still playing, so fair play to him, you know. A handsome man like him, as he said, needs to get into management.
According to Wikipedia, he's got 6 goals this year from 15. A 37 year old, you know.
Yeah,
that's what you want.
Record, yeah.
Every now and again, plunk it up with a couple.
Alright, he started his career at Atletico Nacional, so it's kind of gone full circle.
Yeah.
He made his debut there at the ripe old age of 18.
Wow.
He does 19 years ago since he made his debut. That's crazy to think that. He brought him to the first team in the second season with the club, really. He scored 8 goals in 32 games, which wasn't great, but he did play mainly as a winger.
Really? He started off as a winger?
Yeah, I suppose. He's a pacey player, skillful kind of.
Because I would have never I didn't class him as that pacey player when, you know, in the years I knew him.
I don't think he ever was that in the Premiership, but possibly playing in Colombia, maybe just he was added something to them because he was pacey, but he was quite strong. That's why he was the target man.
Yeah, because that's the thing. I find it hard to imagine him as a winger.
I'm just imagining Samaras, really.
Yeah, but I find it hard to imagine him as a winger in any way, because I remember him as quite rigid a player, actually.
Well, he was converted into a centre forward he only played there for a season at most. He became a fan favourite then when he scored the winner against their rivals Independiente Medellin, or whatever the way you pronounce the city. So he became a fan favourite almost straight away. You know, they helped him clinch the club title at the time as well.
Excellent. So one medal down.
He spent there's not many. He spent 4 seasons at the club though after breaking through before he moved on to Argentina with River Plate. So he did quite a good job, and he went to River Plate at the time when there was it was a good team he was going to, but there was a big boots to fill over there.
Oh, yeah?
Because Herman George Crespo just left to move to Parma.
Oh wow.
So he was replacing my God, Crespo
in the boots of that man. At that stage of Crespo's career as well, like an absolute goddess. Goddess.
I don't know. To Parma? I don't know.
Well, maybe not to Parma. Maybe it was the next one.
When he moved to Inter, he lost a lot of money. But Parma were doing quite well at the time. We were winning.
They had Lilian Thuram, as far as I remember, back then as well.
Buffon came through that.
Yeah.
Did Cannavaro come through that?
He
came through Napoli, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
He might be in at Parma, but he definitely came through Napoli. They had a good team back then. They won the UEFA Cup, I think it was. And I think they might have won the Italian Cup as well.
But Juan Pablo Angel did not see any of that goodness.
No, because he was at Boca at the time.
Yeah. River Plate.
At River. So he was replacing Crespo. He began to establish himself as a goal scorer then. He helped them win the Argentinian Championship twice. So there's another 2 medals thrown out there.
Yeah.
He scored 46 goals in just under 100 appearances. So roughly a goal every 2 games.
Yeah.
Which is
just 20. I'm seeing here on the stats, 20 in 35 games in the league, which is, again, pretty good return.
Yeah.
You would want that from your Crespo replacing striker, at least.
Yeah, at least. He had a fantastic record in the Copa Libertadores in particular. He scored 16 goals in 25 games for them.
Oh.
The fans used to, as it's being delicately put, the fans used to don angel wings in honour of the man. Obviously, his name is Juan Angel.
Well, it's closer to angle, so they should have brought some sort of mathematics.
Angle grinders.
Some sort of mathematic rulers and made jokes out of that.
Yeah, which is something that I think, unfortunately, they didn't transport to the Premier League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose it's when a wrestling character comes from, like, WCW to WWF and changes his persona.
Well,
you know?
He didn't change persona.
No, but, like, he wasn't Juan Pablo Angel. He was Angel, and he was just, you know,
well, maybe
that Colombian.
Maybe when he moved
he was probably made out to be the stereotypical Colombian man if it was in wrestling,
if
you know?
If you need some coke.
Yeah.
Fine.
That was what the English knew better for,
Maybe he should have adopted a new persona when he moved to the league. And he could have went Juan Pablo Angle. So as he's an Angle. And he could have been the mathematician.
Yeah, well, that's what I was alluding to.
When he moved to the Premiership, he could have taken that.
Or he could have gone to wrestling and been brother of Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
So they could have been tag team partners.
Brother who's much more attractive.
That's awesome.
Anyway, he was quite prolific in Argentina, scoring a lot of goals. And Aston Villa came along, 2001, they made £9.5 million.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's a lot for back then.
That was a lot of money back then.
Pre-Martin O'Neill era and everything.
It's a good bit before Martin O'Neill.
£10 million in 2001, £10 million round up, for a player unproven in Europe, coming from South America.
Yeah.
That is a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah. Who was Aston Villa's manager back then? 2001.
Oh.
Tough and remember. I remember Lee Hendry having the season of his life around then. Remember him linking up very well with Juan Pablo Angel, as far as
George
I remember.
Graham?
I think it might have been George Graham, you know.
John Gregory, one of them, was in charge of then. Maybe Gregory was in charge, and I think Graham came in afterwards. Not George Graham, sorry, what's his name? It wasn't George Graham, it's the other one. Can't think of his name. John Gregory was in charge, I think, when he moved there. Jesus, slip of my note. But he cost £9.5 million. It was a record signing. Absolute.
it's a fascinating figure. I really did not think. No, when you, I mean, we don't know a lot of this. So, Shane has done a lot of the research here and is bringing it to us. But, like, really, that's an outstanding fee. It's nearly 10 million back then.
He scored 12 goals in 29 games in his first full season, anyway. So he did start to repay it back then. He formed, I won't say prolific, but he formed a partnership with Darius Vassell, who also scored 12 league goals that season. So the two of them were, they were scoring.
Graham Taylor, sorry. I've come back. It was, you were right, though. It started off with John Gregory.
Yeah. They won the Intertotal Cup that season, isn't it?
Oh, the Inter... Can we do a whatever happened to you on the Intertotal Cup? That would be magnificent.
I'll put it on the list.
Yeah. Absolutely, that's wonderful.
Newcastle used to win that.
That was a great tournament.
He used to get a certificate for winning it.
Oh, so now it's three medals and a certificate.
They finished eighth that season, which was quite good for
this 2001-2002 season.
Next season was much worse.
Well, could I just put it? He was their top goal scorer that season, wasn't he?
He was joined with Darius Vassell.
Darius Vassell,
yeah. Took him with 12. As they just said, if you were paying attention.
I'm sorry, I was trying to find the right manager.
Yeah, next season was much worse though for him. He scored one goal in 15 games. Dion Dublin finished top goal scorer that season.
That's a man. For first replacing Crespo, now following the wings of Dion Dublin. He had no chance, this lad, did he?
And the next season, so we skip over that too. Next season, though, was different. It was different, lad. Villa finished sixth under David O'Leary.
That was a great year.
Moving on, he managed 16 goals in 33 games, and they finished just 4 points off fourth place Liverpool.
I do remember that. I think we played them at the end of the season as well. I think we beat them 1-0. Michael Owen and Stephen Gerrard linking up for Gerrard hitting one of those 40-yard balls. Michael Owen tapping it in.
Could have been.
That
was his most successful season in England. Those
under as one of O'Leary's young lads, his babies.
He scored a wonderful volley against Chelsea, which we looked at before.
So
3-2 win that season that helped him finish sixth.
Yeah,
so that'll lovely.
It's definitely his best goal ever scored.
Well, at least for the rest of it.
In his time that we've seen him anyway. It's hard to find visible goals that weren't recorded with the scribbliest of phones, but that goal will definitely go up on the Facebook page later.
He was linked with big moves abroad at this stage, like to Italy and to Spain, and not quite, you know, Barcelona, Real Madrid, but in Italy, Inter Milan, I think we're even linked to him at this stage. This would have been around
he would have been replacing Crespo again. That's why he didn't move, because he was like, I can't keep replacing this guy. Because Crespo kept getting better at that time, so I was like, here.
I think Crespo would have been 2004, 2005. Yeah, I think Crespo would have been coming to the end of his career. Well, not the end of his career, but I think he would have been not quite as prolific as he had been the turn of the century. And he had been big moves abroad. I think even teams like Galatasaray and stuff are linked to him. You know, big teams.
Yeah.
But he stayed put, and things went downhill from there. Failed to make double figures over the next 3 years of Villa. They began slipping down the table. Because I remember that season,
David O'Leary
was brilliant. They finished sixth, and I was like, it's this team with Angel, if they get one or two players in, I don't think it helped that Doug Ellis didn't want to spend any money. And they started to spend big money on Angel, as we pointed out. So, I mean, you spend a bit of money on good players, you get returns, so next 3 years of Villa, they began slumming down the table. They finished 10th, then they finished 16th after that. His position came with a threat then at the club as they signed Kevin Phillips, Milan Baroš.
I was going to say Milan
Baroš moved from Liverpool, and John Carew.
Carew is one of those that's stuck out a bit more because he came at the end of his career, because he was relatively decent name around Europe for most of that time.
Yeah, he's pretty good for Valencia, mostly.
That's poor now to hear him slip from grace like that.
Yeah. In the Premier League era, though, he is Aston Villa's third top goal scorer behind Dwight York and Gabriel Bonglore. Bonglore only overtook him at the start of the season, I think, didn't he?
Respectable enough of a position to have, alright?
He's the last Villa player to ever score 20 goals a season before Benteke did last season, which was... You know, it's not a bad record to have, considering Benteke's quite the player. Looks like he's going to be an excellent player for Villa. He finally left the club in April 2007 to join
New York
Rebels. There were people. I think that's where people kind of lost track of him, because you know he's gone from the Premiership, and not many people would have cared about.
He joined a team with the same name as an energy drink. No, that's generally
you're not selling out.
I waver a little way. I know. I understand that's not. It's an American thing, but.
Not necessarily. Red Bull Salzburg.
But it's a hugely advertisement based thing over there. But I think it's more so that when a player like that comes to a hugely broadcast, especially over here, Premier League team, we're not going to track him, especially when he's faded from grace. We're not going to track him that well into what we would generally have classified as worse leagues.
Fair point. He went over to one of the designated players, so that meant that he was outside of the wage brackets.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The David Beckham rule, that thing. On his debut, though, made his debut against LA Galaxy, scored a free kick.
Lovely.
In extra time.
A winner?
3-1.
It got so built up, I was like, the big moments in his career weren't over. I do think I remember that goal.
Yeah, you never know. He won Player of the Month in May, which is just when he moved, as far as I know. He contributed 3 goals in the next 2 games. And he endeared himself to the fans when he scored in 2 games against LA Galaxy, including a last minute winner in a 5-4 match.
Fantastic.
He loved scoring against LA Galaxy. He scored a lot of goals against LA Galaxy.
And then he played for them.
Yeah, I mean, we're not quite there yet. He continued scoring throughout his time there. 13 goals over 4 seasons. Not good at all.
And how many of them were more against
13? So it's more than, according to...
No, it's 13 goals that season. It was.
Oh, yeah, 13 goals that season. Yeah.
No, he was prolific to a certain extent, but it was America. And it was America before it's even now, so... 13 goals season.
It's America before it was now. I mean, probably the quote of the piece so far. Bear with us through these. We're working on it.
The MLS was a lot. It's a lot higher standard now than it was in 2010 or 2008 or whatever it was. In 2008, though, he did help them reach the MLS Cup final, but they lost to Columbus Crew. And then in 2010, he helped them win the Eastern Conference. Whatever that means. No, but it's... You know, near the Eastern and the Western Conference, and yeah, they play each other in playoffs, which is highly confusing. His time at New York Red Bulls, though, was hampered by injury. Poor lad.
Yeah, he did, as far as I remember, towards the end of his career, he did miss games, and that's
kind of why I think Kevin Phillips was brought in, because they couldn't trust Angel to be fit all the time. Kevin Phillips was probably pretty old then. He would be 34, I think, if I said. So they probably just his cover. But again, that's the reason they brought in Barros and Carew, was because they couldn't trust Angel to be... Mm. You know, he was injured a lot. He did score a good few goals over there. And it was, if he had stayed fit, he would have been a phenomenal player. But he scored 58 goals in 102 appearances for the club, which is, you know...
That's quite odd.
I think he might still be the top goal scorer, actually. Which isn't the hardest thing to be when the club's so young, but not bad. This wasn't the end of his time in America, though, as you alluded to. Oh, no. He was entered into the draft, whatever that means as well, in 2010.
Again, I have to think of it like WWF, and another, you know...
Or the NFL. Kurt Angle. Yeah. In 2010, he was selected by LA Galaxy as a designated player as well.
That's how I was going to say driver. For any night that went out on the lash.
His time was rather unsuccessful.
You will be our designated driver. I'm also a striker.
Oh, are you? Oh, grand. Go on.
We'll give you a few quid for the driving, and then we can see how you get on.
What
a glamorous career he
had. If only that was the way it went. But he's now a limo driver.
Atletico Nacional, I'll say. No. 9.5 million, though. 9.5 million. I cannot get over that. He scored 3 goals in 20 games for LA Galaxy. He wasn't very good. He was traded in later that year to make room for...
Robbie Keane.
Yes.
Robbie Keane.
Because Robbie Keane came in as a designated player, so he was kind of shipped out at that stage.
He was never going to be the designated driver, no. He'd burn out the car.
We're going to the lush.
He'd down the vodka and he'd burn out the car, as is the custom in Tala.
Burn the evidence. What evidence? Oh, you want to be a club? So he was traded to Chivas USA, who are an American club. For the remainder of the season, he scored 7 goals in 9 games, which was quite good at the end of that season. He spent the next season there and was largely unsuccessful, we'll put it that way. All along his time in America, he is the top goal scorer in New York Red Bulls, I said.
One of Villa's top scorers. Moved for 9.5 at a time when it was relatively not unseen completely, but you know, surprising for.
Moved back to Atlético Nacional, as I said, where he started his career, has won the title with them since moving back.
I always love a player that goes. That goes back at the end of his career, you know?
Just going full circle.
Yeah, I love a player that does that and that finishes it off there as well. That doesn't go, oh, well, I'm enjoying my time here, but someone else has come in now because I've done so well at my home team. It's like, stay there, come on.
The international front, though, he only managed 33 caps for Colombia. He only got 9 goals in that time. It's not terrible, but he never really took off.
No, Colombia were never really a...
Colombia were in the middle of the goals. They were never as good as they were in that, well, that 94 team that they had, which is Escobar played for.
Mm.
And it's unfortunate, I think, that they were never that good, because he could have been a world class, an international class player. Yeah. He could have been gone to World Cups and making a name for himself, but he just didn't. And maybe that's why he missed that big move to Europe, as we said. Villa was cost a lot of money, but he never got that move to
injuries hampered him and stuff like that held him back a little, which is, you know, you think about it on his best day. I mean, you look at that goal he scored against Chelsea, you think about it on his best day like that, it's as good as any goal you'll see any top player now scoring, you know.
The technical director at New York Red Bulls, Jeff Agos, said on him, he said, "We made a highlight reel a few weeks back to show some of the people in Salzburg over half of his goals. Where he had just more desire than the defender to get in front of the goal and push them to the right spot at the right time." Which is kind of what you're doing, is like just getting in and scoring goals. Yeah. Claudio Reyna also said, "I had a chance to play against Juan Pablo." He also says, "In the EPL," so you know he was an American.
Oh, gosh.
In the EPL. He says, "His experience and his ability as a goal scorer is definitely going to strengthen our team. He's very active, dangerous in the box, and is a true goal scorer."
True stuff. True to the word, Claudio Reyna.
You won't like it. A few months ago, a video actually emerged of his son playing football showing remarkable skill and composure at the age of 8.
Yeah, I heard of that as well. I suppose we'd have to put two videos. Juan Pablo's up. Probably isn't one, actually.
It's just Angels, I'm sure. Yeah. Two angels.
Two angels.
And folks, that is what happened to Juan Pablo Angel, if you cared.
That's the end of the tale.
Lovely.
That'll have to be published and put in the old 12th Man library.
Yeah.
next to Cara. And Paul McGrath's book, and a really cheap one I got on some journalists talking about Mick McCarthy and Roy Keane.
Lovely. Are you looking at your bookcase?
No, I know my bookcase off by heart. I know the bad books I've read.
Lovely. If you want to get in touch, with 12manpodcast.hotmail.com, at 12manpodcast on Twitter. You can have the Facebook page as well. We put those videos up.
And a lovely picture of Ravinelli looking
ravishing,
looking satin, to say the least.
Whatever that means. Oh, thank you, Declan Maher.
Thank you ever so much.
Thank you, Rory Talbot. Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you for myself, Shane Gale. I'll speak to you next week.
'Floodlights, I thought he just played
in the dark.
Yeah, genuinely. I've been in teams that played just in the dark.
One light?
It was just one light on the top,
and it was just a torch.
It was pretty much it.
It was some lad with a phone.
Yeah.
Running after the ball.
We used to take turns doing that.
Not going to finish that.
That's that sentence. Yeah. Let's forget about that sentence.
Delicious. That was a high five and not me exploding.
Rev it up and here we go.
I like rev it up and here we go. Oh, it's entertaining to us and all of us.
Let's go. Rev it up and here we go. It's a podcast. It's a podcast.
Never say no. Ireland, Republic of Ireland. Rev it up and here we go.